If circumcision started as a mark in private, why did God's greatest desire always point to a heart made new, not just a body marked by tradition? Is there an area where outward religious practice is masking an unchanged heart? And what would cutting away the flesh look like today in public work or family life? Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. And I am so glad that you are here today. I hope you're ready to dive into God's Word. But before we get there, if you haven't subscribed, liked, shared, or commented, I want you to do it. It really does help us get to the tops of those algorithms and allows the Word of God to get placed into the public square all over YouTube, Spotify, all those different channels that this comes out on. Also, if you're a financial partner with FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so much for your generosity. That is how we keep these shows going. So thank you for donating, and whether it's 5, 10, 25, we appreciate you so very, very much. We're going to enter into a series called Circumcision of the Heart. And it's going to get a little bit dicey and spicy and everything nicey, but I just want to encourage you to jump on in there and get into the Word of God today. And what does it mean to bear the name of Jesus? Think about that for to bear someone's name. What does that mean? Like, if you were to think of my kids and they bear the noble name, or your kids and whatever your last name might be, has God always cared more about the heart than the flesh? So I want to talk about circumcision today, and I want to go back to the Old Testament for just a moment. We're going to come back to Romans chapter 2. But in Genesis chapter 12, it says, "Now the Lord God said to Abram," which is Abraham later on, "go forth from your country and from your relatives and from the father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation," underline nation, "and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing." So God says to Abram, while he was uncircumcised in the flesh, he said, "Hey, I'm going to send you out. Go to a country that I'm going to show you. I'm going to make you a great nation. And I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." So Abraham went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So I love this, because we see that Abram, who eventually becomes Abraham, he goes out and he's like, God's like, "I'm going to make you a great nation." Just remember that, a nation, because there's so much anti-Semitic behavior happening right now in the culture. Now, Abram took Sarai, which is going to be Sarah later, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all their possessions which they had accumulated and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. So this is the first Abrahamic covenant, and Abraham is uncircumcised in the flesh at this point. And I just want you to think about this. This is where we quote that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteous. Okay. Now, in Genesis chapter 17, we see that God shows up again another time. It says, "Now, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly.' And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, 'As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. I have made you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generation for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land you're sojourning, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession." So here's this, an everlasting covenant, an everlasting possession of the land, and I will be their God. God said further, "Abraham, Now, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout these generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you. So we find out right here that circumcision was brought in after God had renewed his covenant with Abraham, reminding Abraham of the promise of Genesis chapter 12. And we see that a lot of things had happened between there and there, and I don't have time to go through it all today, but it was to be a sign. Well, a sign to who? You know, you think about this, it was mostly a sign to Abraham, because that's on one of our, you know, it's in our private parts, and we don't go showing that around or something, but it's a private sign or private covenant that God was circumcising Abraham, or he was to circumcise the flesh. Now, in the Old Testament, what's interesting is Deuteronomy, which we skip ahead to Moses. So if you go through Genesis and you go through Abraham's story slowly, you understand that God prophesied to Abraham that they would go to Egypt and that they would be in the land of Egypt as slaves for 400 and some years. So when Moses led them out of Egypt, it says this, I'm overstayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights like the first time, and the Lord listened to me that time also, and the Lord was not willing to destroy you. Then the Lord said to me, arise, proceed on your journey ahead of the people, that they may go in and possess the land. What land? The land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob is Israel. And I swore to their fathers to give them. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belongs heaven and the highest heavens, the earth and all that is in it. Yet on your fathers did the Lord set his affections to love them. So people say oftentimes, why was Israel, or why did Abraham get chosen to be a Jewish nation? I don't know. God set his affections upon him. And he chose their descendants after them, even you above all peoples, as it is to this day. Now look at this. So circumcise your heart and stiffen your neck no longer. Did you know by the time it got to Moses, which is, you know, over 400 some years later, we see that it goes to this place in the Old Testament from a Jewish perspective that they were to circumcise their heart and stiffen their necks no longer. God has always cared about the heart. Doesn't that surprise you that this wasn't written in the New Testament? That the idea that Paul, what we're going to read in Romans chapter 2, actually came from Moses in the Old Testament? For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. He executes justice for the orphan and the widow and shows his love for the alien by giving him food and clothing. So show your love for the alien, for you were also aliens in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and cling to him, and you shall swear by his name. He is your praise, and he is your God who has done these great and awesome things for you, which your eye has seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt, 70 persons in all, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars of heaven. Think about that. So, why do I bring this up? Because we're going to talk about circumcision of the heart, and I think a lot of us would believe that's a New Testament principle. But really, it's Old Testament. Moses talked about it when he went back up for the second time to get the Ten Commandments. He says, God desires that you circumcise your heart, that you have a heart change and transformation today. Now, as we go through this series on circumcision of the heart, we're going to start in verse 17 of chapter 2 of Romans. It says, but if you bear the name Jew and rely upon the law and boast in God, think about this. We all have a last name, and we bear the name of our last name. So to my boys, I gave the Noble name. Well, and for that case, to my daughter as well. And to my wife, I gave the Noble name. When we got married, she took my name, and she bears that name. In other words, when she is in the public square and she is a noble, or the three boys are in the noble, which they're growing men now, really, or Isabella, my daughter, is in the public square and bears the name Noble. They represent the Noble family. And Paul is reminding the Jewish people of Rome. He's saying, listen, you bear the name Jew, and you rely upon the law and boast in God. He's saying, let's be careful not to dishonor that. We need to have a circumcised heart. And Paul is drawing on the teaching of Moses from the Old Testament that God does care about our outward behavior, but he knows that authentic outward behavior starts with the heart. So we have to change the heart if we want to change the public square. You've heard me say that. We have to circumcise our heart. In other words, what does that mean? Well, in circumcision, there's a cutting away of the flesh or the foreskin. There's a removal of the flesh to symbolize this idea of that we are in covenant with God. In a like manner, our hearts are supposed to be cut away from all the flesh and allow the Spirit to come in and to rejuvenate and renew and give a full expression of the love of God in our hearts. So if you bear the name Jew or you bear the name Christian, is Jesus your Messiah? You're carrying his last name. You are representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords today as you go into the public square. God wants your heart today. He doesn't want you to leave your heart in church on Sunday morning or in the synagogue on Saturday. He wants your heart today. God wants your obedience today to walk after him with a heart that says, God, Abba, Father, I love you. God, you are so, so, so good to me. And so I want to encourage you today as you walk into that public space, as you walk into that office and you're managing people, have the heart of God. Have a love for the people that you manage. Have a desire to see them succeed and the best for them, that they may honor and glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let your flesh, your anger, your frustration, your tone, your coarse joking, all those things that we all struggle with, let it be cut away today. And let all that we do in our body, word, or deed be honoring and glorifying to God. So we're starting this series, Circumcised in the Heart. It's going to be intense. I don't want you to miss out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Abrahamic covenant. We thank you for your love for the Jewish nation of Israel. We also thank you that the Christian is grafted in to that vine, and that we are there, God, because you love the Gentiles as well. God, we thank you that you have express it to Moses that you care about a circumcised heart. And so circumcise our heart, cut away our flesh and our fallenness, and let us honor and fear you and have a reverence for you and walk in your ways today. Go before us as we go into the public square. Change us from the inside out, oh God. You are a gracious God, a merciful God, and let that mercy and grace flow out of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.